Good morning.
Oh,
got your attention there, didn't I? Thank you again for a great time of worship and praise together this morning. We need that. We need to do that. My name is Don Paul. If you're a visitor or weren't around last week, I'm the interim pastor for a period of time. We don't know how long that will be. I'm going to begin a series with you this morning. I made sure it was a smaller series because I'm not sure how long my interim time is supposed to be. So we won't plan on going through the entire Bible this time. I gave you kind of a list of things last week that we wanted to do during this interim time. And I want you to know that I'm setting up some meetings and talking with some people, but if you want to talk with me specifically, please get in touch with me. Phyllis will remind me, and we'll get my phone number in the email and the bulletin that we print or publish this week. Or give me a call, and I'll tell you what my phone number is. But I'm certainly willing for you to get in touch and need some things that you want to talk about or just share together. I'm most willing to do that with you. Please let me know. Now, hey, I've got it with me. So if you want to take it down, my phone number. Coming here to Topeka, we live in Gardner, and my phone number is from Omaha. So if you want to write it down, 402-290-0124. I wanted to share something last week and I forgot, and it's not in the bulletin anymore, but it is a course called Perspectives. I'm sure you've heard about it, you've read about it in the bulletin. Mike Barnes, you are kind of heading that up for us, a point man for us. I think it's very unfortunate that Perspectives has been billed as a missionary thing, because 97% of us turn it off. Well, it's for missionaries. It's the Perspective is about a world Christian movement. And you need to be a world Christian. I didn't say worldly. I said a world Christian. I've been a teacher, an instructor in Perspectives several times. But I only teach one class out of the 15. And I realize that when you make a commitment to attend Perspectives, it's quite a commitment, 15 weeks long. So what they offered for us as instructors, since we don't get the whole thing, is they invited us to the Avant headquarters up in north part of Kansas City, and they gave us all 15 lessons in 1 week. I don't know if you've ever drunk from a fire hose, but that's what it felt like. I tell you, I am so excited about Perspectives. And if you have an opportunity, I don't know if the registration is closed. It starts up this next week already, and it will be 15 Sundays. And I know it's a commitment, but, give it some thought, give it some prayer. It is very practical, and you would be incredibly encouraged by it. So just putting that plug in. Now back to our regularly scheduled morning service. Father, thank you for what you have done among us this morning already. Thank you for the songs which acknowledge your presence, which acknowledge your character. We praise you, and we thank you for it. Now, Father, as we open up your word, speak to us. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be my teacher, and explain to us the things concerning yourself. In Christ's name I pray. Those of you who remember the name Merv Griffin, don't stand up. That will take too much effort for those of us that old. Merv Griffin had a talk show before Johnny Carson. Who's Johnny Carson? Several generations back. Anyway, on one occasion, Merv Griffin invited some bodybuilders to come on to his talk show. And so a couple of bodybuilders came up onto the stage. I could have gotten a much worse picture, bodybuilders, I tell you. Bodybuilders came up onto the stage and they flexed and they displayed and they posed and going through all the gyrations that they do. And then Merv asked them a question. He says, "What do you use all those muscles for?" They kind of had a funny look on their face, and then they went to more flexing and posing. And he broke in and said, I mean, what do you use them for?" And they looked at him kind of startled again. What? And they did some more flexing and posing. And finally he said to them, "I don't think you understand. I ask you what you use them for." And more flexing. And I wonder, did they miss the point of his question, or did they miss the point of their training? Was it just to show off the well-oiled muscles, or did they use them for something? It's kind of like when I was a boy and Christmas time and birthday time would come around. Oh, I look forward to getting the presents. I love getting my picture taken next to this present that was all wrapped up, and I'd take that present and put it in my room overnight, all wrapped up, and come down with it all wrapped up in the morning. You don't believe that, do you? We unwrapped those gifts as fast as we could in order to play with them or wear them, whatever it was. We wanted to see what those gifts were. Well, as a child of God, somewhere along the line, someone taught me that as a child of God, I was gifted. I had a gift, not just natural gifts like singing or speaking or playing the radio, you know, some of those gifts. But I was born again with a spiritual gift. And we're going to walk through a series the next 7 weeks on spiritual gifts. Now, again, I've done a series on the spiritual gifts. I took one a Sunday and lasted not quite a year, but I don't know how much time I have with you. So we're going to shorten this up a little bit, but we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. Hey, let's start with a definition. A spiritual gift is a divine endowment, which means a gift or a talent given to the local church by the Holy Spirit through an individual to build up the body of Christ into spiritual maturity. The Lord directs the gifted person into a specific ministry, and God provides the results. Y'all see that, or do I have to duck down once in a while? Okay. Now, where did I get all this? I will show you in just a minute. Let me ask you, do you believe that the United States of America, that we should pay attention to our relationships with nations around the world? You think that's an important thing to do? Of course it is. We have a shrinking world, and it's more important than ever to be in touch with other nations. Well, do you think that we should pay attention to inside the United States, our own soul? Yes, we should. We should. We don't do one at a time. Well, for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're just going to look inside. We'll let the other nations go to pieces, or our relationship, or just focus there and let it. By the way, one great theologian of TV, Oprah Winfrey, this week, in light of these shootings last week, suggested that the United States needs to take a look at our soul. I appreciated that. I don't know where that insight came from. But she said the churches used to do that. Well, Oprah, some churches still do. And then she said something like, however you do that, or whoever you worship, or I knew that was coming. But we need to take a look at our soul. And the reason I'm saying that is when we talk about spiritual gifts, we don't just focus for the next 7 weeks on spiritual gifts and forget the world out there that we're going to live in. Day after day. We are still concerned about people needing Christ. We still need to be concerned about people out there that are in need, that need to know someone who knows Christ. We need that. So we're going to try to find that balance. This morning I want to start on this series on the spiritual gifts in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And we're going to begin at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now, by the way, that's one huge mistake I made on that handout that you got. Nowhere on there did I print 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I apologize. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. Many of you have been students of Scripture, and you know that Corinth was a rough place. To be identified with Corinth was to be identified with some of the most sensuous and the lowest, crass of sin. Whatever you could think of, Corinth had it. And this church was trying to exist and grow in the midst of that environment. It was a horrible environment. But beyond that, something was going on within the church at Corinth. In fact, several problems. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree." Hey, learn to get along, folks. "And let there be no divisions among you, but that you might be united in the same mind and the same judgment." And then throughout the book, he goes on to talk about different issues that they have. Now concerning this or concerning that. And it seems like Paul, almost every one of his letters, has to take time to defend the fact that he's an apostle. He has to defend his own authority. For instance, chapter 7, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, is it good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman?" He addresses an issue there, verse 25, "Now concerning the betrothed." So we get the impression that they've been asking questions, or they've been living such a life that Paul says, "I've got to address that." Chapter 8, verse 1, "Now concerning food offered to idols." That was a big deal. That was bothering a lot of people. How do we handle this? Well, chapter 12, we get to chapter 12, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." That's only one word there, spiritual gifts. It just means spirituals or spiritual things in the context we understand about the gifts. "Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, other translations have different words like, "I don't want you to be ignorant." Watch out how you study the Word of God and where you put the commas. Very important. In some versions, "I do not want you ignorant, comma, brothers." But some time back, a young lady that was not yet married and didn't want to be married says, I've got proof for it here in the Scriptures. It says, "I do not want you ignorant, brothers." Don't play with the Scriptures like that. Paul says you're uninformed, you're ignorant, you're not practicing something as God intended. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were laid, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit." You guys are not pagans anymore. You've accepted Christ into your life. You believed in what Jesus said and who he was. Now start acting like it. And all these spiritual things, they're at the heart of it. Leading all of that is the Holy Spirit. "Now I want to teach you something," he says. And the first thing that he lets us know is that in these spiritual gifts, I want to focus on this fact that our triune God both assigns and empowers our gifts. Now, a lot of churches have quit teaching on spiritual gifts. For one thing, a lot of them feel, "Oh, that's That's ancient. That's archaic. We don't need to talk about everybody knows about spiritual gifts already. We don't need to address it anymore. Well, I don't want you to forget the fact that new believers come into the church and they haven't been trained in these things. And Paul says, I want you to be informed about spiritual gifts. And so the church today needs to continue to talk about spiritual gifts. Some people say, I want to talk about spiritual gifts because I think the people that do get really kind of strange. And you've seen people that really get into spiritual gifts. I mean, they go crazy. I don't want to be a crazy. No, I don't want you to be a crazy either. That's why we want to teach on the spiritual gifts. And the first thing he says, there are varieties of gifts. Let me read verses 4 through 6. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the outpouring of the Spirit for the common good. One of the first things he says is, hey, this spiritual gift thing isn't for you as a plaything. It's for the common good. It's for the whole church, not just for you. In other words, I don't want you running around saying, hey, guess what gift I have? That's what they were doing at Corinth. That's what they were doing. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Down to verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will. Now, from time to time, we'll preach on something where you might be able to sit there and say, well, that doesn't concern me, so I'll kind of sit back and relax this morning. Each of us is covered in this each one. If you are a believer, you're here this morning, you're in each one, you have a spiritual gift. I know what some of you are thinking. I'm going to answer it already. God did not skip over anybody. He didn't miss anybody. He didn't blink when you walked by. You have a spiritual gift. Have you figured it out? I know some of you have because Pastor Greg told me you took a test a couple of years ago. So now I don't know if you were given little badges to carry that I have this gift or that gift. I hope not, but you should remember what it is. So what does Paul tell us? First of all, that the triune God is involved in this. This is not just a plaything. The God of the universe, the one who created the world, we read in Genesis, God created, the Spirit was over the waters. In Colossians, Paul tells us that all things were made by, for, and through Jesus Christ. The triune God was there. The triune God is here in the distribution of gifts to the church. It is the Holy Spirit, verse 4, that assigns gifts. There are varieties, differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is the word charismata. Don't be afraid of it. It's the spiritual gifts given by the same Spirit. And then there are varieties of service. That word service comes from the word from which we get the word deacon, means to serve. So let's start putting this together. God has given me a gift through the Spirit of God. Then the Lord gives the varieties of areas of service. All right, I know we're supposed to humble ourselves, but I'll use me for an example. God has given me the gift of preaching and teaching. And the Lord assigned that gift to me on occasion, once in a church in Manhattan, Kansas, in a church in Omaha, Nebraska. And now he's assigning it here. That's the Lord assigning or giving us the area of service. The Spirit gives the gift. The Lord assigns the service or ministry. And what's the role of God? And I take it this is the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. God is the one who makes it effective. It's the word we get energy from. He energizes it. I love that teaching because it takes all the weight off of me. I got to do it. No, it's God who assigns. He energizes it. And he gives, put the word results in there. He gives the results. It's not up to me. It's up to me to be obedient, to exercise my gift that the Spirit of God has given in the place where the Lord directs. And by the way, in giving my illustration, I didn't mean you need to use your gift here and then go somewhere else and exercise it and then go somewhere else. He may use it here in teaching. He may use it here in whatever it might be in different areas of service. The Lord assigns that to you. Now, you might have thought that that was a role of the elders. They come and say, okay, you teach over there and you serve over there. No, that's not their role. It's the role of the Spirit of God who gives a gift. It's the role of the Lord who assigns that ministry. You would sure make the elders happy. You came up and say, God has given me this gift. I want to use it. And God energizes it. The second, the truth that Paul shares here with the church at Corinth is that our gifts and their spheres of ministry are diverse and they are beneficial to the benefit of everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the gift of the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between gifts, to another various types of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. In this particular passage, these are the gifts that he mentions, about 9 of them or so. Now, I want to, if you ran off that other insert that Phyllis emailed out to you, you're going to have something, it's not going to look quite like this, but you're going to have two lists. One list on the left side of the page will be all the, several of the Bible passages where the gifts are listed. And I've listed them off here. And we are going to look at Romans, and next Sunday we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the last part of the chapter. We're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to look at 1 Peter. There are other places where the gifts are mentioned. But I want this to be kind of a worksheet for you. These are the scripture passages where these gifts are mentioned. On the right side of that sheet that you will have, these are a listing of the gifts by category. For instance, leadership gifts, speaking gifts, and the church at Corinth, they love the speaking gifts. They love to be up front. They love to have the pizzazz. I'll share that with you a little bit. The serving gifts and those that we call the sign gifts. So that is kind of a category, and I doubt that my categories cover all of this. But what I'd like to do this morning is just walk through these gifts as Paul talks about them in chapter 12, and some they will be listed up here as well. The first gift that he talks about is the utterance, and the word is simply lego, which means to speak. It's a word. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance or the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Wisdom. You remember how ignorant your dad was when you were a teenager? Remember how smart he got the older you got? My dad didn't get past eighth grade. He was a wise man, and I appreciate that deeply. A fellow named Doc Childra and Deborah Roseman wrote that having knowledge is no guarantee of practical, useful application. It implies a mature integration of appropriate knowledge. It filters the non-essential from the essential. Martin Fisher wrote, knowledge is a process of piling up facts. Wisdom lies in simplification and application. Wisdom sees ahead and anticipates consequences. That's wisdom. You can look at the word of the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs, the author says that wisdom is an obedient application of God's word. Throughout the Old Testament, wisdom is when you are obedient to God. The book of James in the New Testament describes wisdom this way. Wisdom is demonstrable. In other words, you can see it. It shows itself. It is, appropriately to this morning's music, it is humble. It is pure. It is peaceful. It is free from worry. It is gentle. It is reasonable. It is merciful. It displays fruit. It is without prejudice. It is consistent and it is genuine. I want you to see the distinction between wisdom and knowledge and yet the connection they have. Next, he says, the word of knowledge. What does the writer of Proverbs tell us? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. New Testament writers tell us constantly, I want you to grow up in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to learn. We have to learn things. But it's not merely putting a bunch of facts down on a sheet. I want you to know these things. I would think that in most cases we would want someone with the word with a gift of knowledge also having the gift of wisdom, but not necessarily so. Someone may have the gift of knowledge and lead us in teaching and give us an in-depth view of the scriptures, and someone will come along with the gift of wisdom and make that application to us, application to life. Both are necessary. The gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but do any of you have these gifts? Has God shown that to you? Some of you may have said a while ago when I announced that I was going to do a series on the spiritual gifts, you might have said, yeah, you could just count on that. I knew that was coming because we're in this interim time and he's trying to get us all worked up and get us busy and get us working as to what our gift is. Well, you have the gift of discernment. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. At one point, and we'll come to it later, Paul says, pray for the best gifts. How in the world do you interpret that? That's kind of selfish, isn't it? Lord, give me the best gift. What is the best gift? Well, when Paul wrote that, he wrote that plural. He didn't say you individually pray for the best gift. He said you as a church body. Look around. What gifts do you have? What gifts do you need? Ask God for that. Ask God either to give that gift to someone or to bring someone new into the church that has that gift. Ask God. The gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. Thirdly, he says, verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, I want to time out right here. At some point throughout the rest of the scriptures, almost all of these gifts, each of us as a believer is commended For instance, all of us are commended to have wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All of us are to grow in knowledge. You don't just sit back and say, well, I'm not wise, I don't have any knowledge. That's for somebody else with a gift. No, you don't get off the hook. There are some who are so gifted that they have a special way of applying that knowledge or sharing that wisdom or of faith. That I don't want you coming here to this place where it says, some have the gift of faith. Oh, I just don't have any faith. Yeah, you do. You have the faith, and you are to exercise faith in your walk. Now, the one who has the gift of faith, you want that person on your planning team. You want that person on your finance team. I remember hearing from one of our men once in another church years ago. We were working on the budget, and boy, things were tight, as they always are in churches. And there was this particular need we had, and he says, if God has told us we need to go for that, let's go for it. Forget about the budget. And he knew everything there was to know about budgeting. He was very sharp that way. But he was a man of faith. When God says, do it, do it, and God will provide. We got any people like that here? God, give us those who have the gift of faith, the challenges. And then Paul shares several of these gifts, and I'm going to put them all in this area down here of sign gifts. And I will explain them in a moment. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, worker of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. The sign gifts that we call them, I believe they had a specific purpose in the New Testament. The sign gifts were to verify the message of the gospel. Jesus and his disciples performed miracles. They did certain signs that awoke the whole community around them to what's going on here? What is this new message? Paul and some of the other apostles also did miracles that woke their surrounding community up to what was going on. They asked questions and many were brought to Christ. The reason I do not believe that we need these sign gifts anymore is simply that they had that particular purpose, and that purpose is fulfilled once we have, as Hebrews says, God used to tell us about himself through the prophets and through the word and so forth. Now he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. We have all that God wanted to say to us. We have that in his word, which focuses on the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let me address some of these. Do I believe God still heals? Absolutely. There is no healing anywhere, physically, spiritually, in any way, unless God does the healing. Do I believe there are certain people that have the gift of healing? I know there's a lot of them that claim it. But in the book of James, James said to the New Testament church, if you have a problem, if you have an issue, you need healing, you go to the elders. You call the elders of the church and they will come and they will pray over you. That's the method God gave to the church. Not with one person that had the gift of healing that we all flock to. That gift of healing, again, along with the miracles, was to verify the gospel and the messenger of the gospel. Do miracles happen these days? Yeah. Let me tell you about one particular miracle that I have heard of often. I have heard that something is going on in the Muslim world, and it's profound, and you will not find it on Fox or NBC or ABC or CBS or XYZ. You won't find any of them carrying it. Many Muslims are coming to Christ. And in fact, I've heard in droves. And a lot of what's going on is apparently God is revealing himself to many Muslims through dreams. And I have been told by people who have been directly associated with them, someone doesn't come to Christ because of or through that dream. They keep seeing a dream of this person they believe Jesus or identifies himself with Jesus. They go to someone who is there to explain the gospel to them. The dreams don't bring them, the dreams bring them an awareness of Christ, but they go to someone who can explain the gospel. I've learned to never say, God can't. Whatever theological box I'm supposed to be in, I've learned never to say, God can't. I can't tell God he shouldn't use this or that. But to call it a gift, I think, is a long stretch. An occurrence of something doesn't mean it's a gift. Let me address another one that is in this list here that I have not put under sign gifts. Rather, it's up in the speaking gifts, prophesying. I know there's a lot of people going around today saying, I have the gift of prophecy. Please make a distinction. If you have the gift of prophecy, if it's defined as the Old Testament prophet, then you have to be 100% accurate. You miss on one call, you're not a prophet. I don't care if you have a 99% record. Now, on the other hand, in the Old Testament, we understood the gift of prophecy mean foretelling. Some believe, for instance, they would say that I am a prophet in that I am forthtelling, not foretelling the future, but foretelling what is here in the Word. Other people I have come across recently, a lot of them say I'm a prophet in the sense of they're kind of black and white people. And what I see from them is that they probably have the gift of discernment. They say that they speak prophetically. What they're really doing is being black and white. They're using scripture and they're sharing their discernment concerning someone's life. We have to be careful with our definition. Here's another, discerning between the spirits. Scripture tells us to discern the spirits, the one that confesses Jesus Christ, the one that do not. And then there are tongues and various interpretations of tongues. Go back to the book of Acts and you find out the use of tongues. Then, again, tongues is a sign gift in that from early on, it confirmed the message as authentic from God, and it affirmed the messenger as authentic from God. And we have now received the full revelation from God. We do not need that proof, that authentication today. Some believe that tongues are used today particularly in the total absence of God's word, where that is not. I cannot verify nor not verify that. But I can tell you that churches who either dabble in or major in tongues today are missing the mark. They're missing the mark. In fact, they're using as a plaything in churches what Paul said in 1 Corinthians was to be used to reach those outside the church. That's a very specific reason that tongues became a gift, that God allowed them to use that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, you're selfish. You're using this gift so selfishly. In fact, he said, I'd rather speak five words with my mind that you can understand than 10,000 words in a tongue. And then he said to them, this is the Paul paraphrase, P-A-H-L paraphrase, grow up. Church at Corinth, grow up. You need to mature. Part of the reason for the gifts, as we'll find out in Ephesians, is so that the church might be built up and grow and mature. Let me give you an illustration. Last night, some of you may have watched a team in red playing football for the first time this year. What if the coach gets everybody in the huddle before he sends the offense out for the first time onto the field, and Mahomes is there, and everybody's got their eye on him, ready to go, see what he's going to do this year. There's a 500-pound lineman says, "Hey, coach, I want to be quarterback tonight." And there's a tight end says, "Coach, would you let me be quarterback tonight?" And you go around the circle. All 11 of them say, "Coach, I want to be the quarterback tonight." Coach, you don't let that happen, do you? You can't all be quarterbacks. Paul said at the church of Corinth, "You guys are all wanting to be quarterbacks. You're focusing on one gift. Look at them." Now, no wonder he said in verse 4, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, place of ministry, but the same Lord who assigns it. And there are varieties of results, of energizing, but the same God who empowers everyone. To each is given a manifestation, for to one is given this, and one is given this, and one is given that." They don't all have the same gifts. We're going to find that out at the end of chapter 12 next week. Don't all have it. So let me just emphasize thirdly here. Every believer is gifted. God missed no one. Let me explain. The church is an organism, and the church is an organization. The organization side, we see, okay, we have elders, we have deacons, we have people to do this and that. The organism, it's a body. It's a body united in Christ. On the organism side, someone says, "Can I use my gift?" On the organization side, we say, "Is there a hole I can plug into?" You see the difference? On the organism side, I'm gifted for that role. On the organization side, I have no special ability to serve. On the organism side, I'm inexperienced, but I'm willing. On the organization side, we say, "I'm too old" or "I'm too young." "Hey, I got gray hair too." "I have silver hair too." I have a little argument with my 4-year-old granddaughter. She says, "It's gray." "It's silver." "It's gray." "I have silver hair too. I know what it is on occasion to be tired. I've sat for the last year knowing that God has gifted me. And I asked a question for the last year. Is anywhere He can use me again? Am I washed up? Am I just old? Now it's time to turn out the pasture?" But there's this fire. I kind of related to this prophet in the Old Testament. There's this fire in my belly. You're the answer. God has brought me here to walk with you. I love it. Gray hair, silver hair. Tell you, there's one time when we will say, "You don't have to serve anymore." And that's when there's a little box up here holding you. Not until. You say, "Well, I don't have the energy I had before." I just read that God gives the energy. God gives the result. I've stood at the back of that room like this for 45 years, and people go by and, Good sermon, Pastor, good sermon." I wanted to say to some of them, "Yeah, but I saw you sleeping the whole time." But often I had a lot of, and I'm going to categorize them this way, but I love them. Little old ladies coming to me and say, "Pastor, I can't do much anymore. But I pray for you." And I say to them, "You're doing the most important work of all. Praying. And you can't get too gray and two silver to pray. What's your gift? Where has God gifted you? I want to close today just having you think about. Number one, review. You got your list here. You can find other places in the Scripture. Review the gifts. If you don't know it by now, come on, get with it. In the words of Paul, get with it. Second, thank God for the gifts that you observe going on here at Grace Bible Church. Thank God for them. And that means you'll be thanking God for the people who are willing to employ their gift, to let God use their gift. Third, consider where God would have you and what gift you have and where He would have you use it. Now, some people go crazy on this. Well, I have the gift of teaching three-year-olds. And no, you don't have that. That isn't such a gift. You have the gift of teaching. It's being applied to the three-year-olds right now. Frankly, that would I love speaking to a lot of people, but three-year-olds, I don't know if I could do that. I thank God for those who are gifted and called to do that. Consider where God would have you do that. Third, verify that gift. How do you do that? Well, as you did a few years ago, you can take a test. Let me tell you something else you can do. You can go to the person that knows you the best. Go to a friend. Go to a spouse. Ask them. You'll probably get a more accurate. You say to them, you know, I think I've been gifted in this. And they said, well, yeah, I think you have too. Or you say, I think I have the gift of speaking, but you find out no one has the gift of listening. That it may not be, okay? God will show you that. And this friend brought alongside will help you with that. And then, obviously, prayer. Ask God to show you a place. Number six is use it. I know as churches and as this church, we're going to ask from time to time, would you fill this role and so forth. But I'm going to ask the leadership, all of us, that we would be keenly aware of this thing of spiritual gifts, to be able to say, I think you have this, and I think God may have you for this area, and then consider it. Our first reaction is, don't let that be your first reaction. Okay? Now, God may not want you for that role. He may have another role. That's okay. That is okay. We need to learn to turn people loose. Let me wrap up with this. God assigns spiritual gifts not to hoard them or not to say, that's mine, but to share them. Doesn't give gift specifically as much to me as to us. That's why in my definition I said He gives the gifts to the local church through an individual. You have men and women here with speaking gifts. Well, God has given the speaking gifts to this church through those individuals. You have men here who are leaders. God has given the gift of leadership to this church through those men. Thank God. Father, I thank You that everyone here is covered with this teaching today. Everyone here who has invited Christ to be a part of their life, has accepted Christ as their Savior, You've given us a spiritual gift for the benefit of Grace Bible Church right here at this time. Help us to see what that gift is. Help us to understand what it is. Help us to be careful when we address each other. Not just trying to plug people into holes and slots, but to help them exercise their gift that will help the body of Christ grow. Father, it's an important teaching. Right from the Word of God. The triune God who was there at creation is here in a creative way to help Grace Bible function the way it should function. And as we talk about these things that focus on the inner part of the church, may we also be concerned for those neighbors and friends, people we associate with that still need to know about Christ, maybe still need to be brought here. Give us courage. Talk with them, share with them kindly, tactfully, and share the good news about Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.